You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right. As my good friend Ruben Gallegos said from his camel on in Qatar or gutter, as we like to say, it's hump day. So happy hump day to all of you. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Matthew Neely.
His buddy Swalwell was in the news yesterday for something. I'll look up the story and send it to you.
Now, what I love about Swalwell, so he's the guy that had the hot Chinese girlfriend. Is that him?
I believe so, yes.
All right, the smoking hot Chinese spy.
Spy, right? Yeah.
Spy, right? I just want to get this
I believe
right.
The term is honeypot or something. Isn't that the term? Anything wrong?
I'm not familiar with that term. But he was there with Ruben Gallego on the $82,000 lobbyist junket with his wife. I didn't know he was married. I thought it was
right
when the whole smoking hot Chinese girlfriend went down.
Yeah,
I thought he was just a bachelor kind of congressman. Right.
So, and I think it has to do with using Democrat DNC funds at a hotel where his wife worked or something like this. So I think that was the story. I'll look it up and send it to you. I just had to laugh because when I was reading the story, I could just picture him on the camel with the Jason Sudeikis and Justin Timberlake. Sandberg.
Yeah, it's Sandberg.
And that's all I have to say about that, as Forrest Gump would say.
Is that the song about the Christmas the Christmas gift in a box?
Yes. I probably.
Well played.
Raise nervous.
You know, it's funny. Ever since you took over there, Ray put an extra dump button in his office.
He gave us a couple extra seconds.
You know, I got to see if I still have it. Remember Ed had that big red button, the one from Office, whatever, and it said...
That's amazing.
Yeah, well, he had that one. There's the other one, right? And so Ray has something that looks like that now. It's like the big red self-destruct button, like from a supervillain layer. That's the wake up dump button now.
Just, I think it's an eject button for me. It goes. I go through the roof or something.
I think Patty's got one back in her place too, just in case. We have redundant protection here at Wake Up. At KVOI. Big party coming up July 31st. You guys are doing good on those RSVPs. I need you to RSVP. I know all of you thought you were, you know, you say, hey, I'm coming, or you're going to go disappear up into the mountains or whatever. Go hang out with us. It's a heck of a party. So July 31st, Marriott University. Got to go to wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com. We appreciate it. We have Barney will be here hanging out for a while. We got it was so funny when I put guys and girls in for their regular things. I usually, you know, when you put in the calendar, you hit repeat, right? And I forgot to. I just whatever I did, I hit repeat for a bunch of them only till like July. So Barney calls me. I was like, hey, you didn't mention me on the promo. Am I off the show tomorrow? Like, no, I just forgot to hit repeat past July. So, Barney will be here. We have Alan Harwell Jr. He's running. He's the write-in candidate for Ward 3. We'll get to meet him. He was the gentleman that came to our attention by our friend Donna, longtime Wakey, who said, hey, there's a guy running as a write-in. And we said, awesome. He should call in, or he should come in. So he reached out to me. He'll be here. So we'll introduce you to him at 7:07. And then... Paula Tulliani. She is someone you've never heard of. I got to meet her last month, and she is running for governor of Arizona. She is a very successful businesswoman out of Scottsdale. I love her because she's a total Goomba, and she'll tell you what she did, but she had a company that did biscotti, believe it or not, and was in lots of stores throughout America. And you'll probably, I bet a bunch of you have bought her product before, and we'll explain that. And so she's a total character. Very nice lady.
We've got lots of filthy pirate coffee for those biscotti if she brings some.
You are correct. She's not going. She's going to be calling in today because she's, you know, she is. She does want to come in. She wants to come down and start meeting some of the Republicans down here and get to know folks as she runs for a statewide office. So when she does that, she'll be in, and I promise she'll bring you tons of biscotti. And you know what she'll do is she'll make it homemade. She's a cook, so. It'll be good. So she's going to come on at 7. That'll be very fun. And then tomorrow we got Schweikert early. So he's going to be calling in like right out of the gates, Matthew. So he's a 6:10 tomorrow. Oh, that's right. And then we have, what do we got tomorrow? Oh, we got, it's going to be a really fun show. So after Schweikert, we got Larson. Someone say, did you watch the Suns game yesterday? And I said, is that a Weather Channel special? So I don't know, but I guess they lost. So the Milwaukee Bucks, since Lou Alcindor played for them, won a.
Right, exactly.
Yes, he did play for another team before the Lakers, kids. You know, it's kind of like, Dad, it's that old Billy Crystal bit. Was Paul McCartney was in another group before Wings? Yes. Don and Linda will be here from the Garlic Festival. Love Don and Linda. And then I better crank up the coffee, put the crash helmet on, Matt Russell!
All right.
Matt Russell will be here.
The enthusiasm and energy level is at 11.
You are correct. And then Friday will be very fun. Pat from Sun Street will be here. Give us our housing report. Dave Martin, Boulevard Barbecue. Val Romero, running for city council, 7:30. And then we finish up the week with Major Mayhem. Sean McCluskey. The next three Fridays of food will be fun. We got Dave Martin Boulevard. Then we have Lindy is coming in to talk about his new restaurant on 4th Avenue called Thunder Burger. Okay. And then Wendy from Chef Chic will be here in August to talk about her new menu. So
nice.
Winner, winner, food Friday dinner, as we like to say. Let's do a little bit of a rundown. Oh, first of all, today is L Day. Now, there's a lot of pressure on Matt because there was a lot of Loverboy on that list yesterday on Facebook. And I just did a papal command, no more than one Loverboy today. So he has to make, you know, which one of those three songs that they have that you're going to have to nail it.
We will call the herd of Loverboy concerts, of Loverboy requests.
I just did Turn Me Loose. So
does
anyway.
That count as the one right there? Or
no, we'll do one. We'll do one full-blown bumper music. A listener asked me via email. It's a good idea. I think it's a good idea. We got to put it through the Council of Wake Up Trent here. What if we had, this is after the alphabets, right? And we do this on a once-a-week period, right? The Wakeys submit their dream bump list for one show. And then we choose one a week and play it on the air.
I think that's...
right?
Yes.
Now, some of you will be scary because we'll really get a real look into your brain. And that, as we like to say, pulling back the layers of the... You know, when you start sending me extended mixes of Tiny Tim songs and things like that. So I'll think about that, but that's a good idea. I want to say it's a good idea. ... I think so.
You might get some with lots of Wagner on it.
Oh, I love Wagner. I'm sure he's a white supremacist racist too. So can't say that either. All right. So what do we got to do today? We got to talk about, we got to be very careful. This next month is going to be very interesting. Because, and this is why we're going to keep having Michael Beatrice on, is we have Delta variant, okay? And we're already starting to see in relation to the kids go back to school, right? And how the Democrats want to pull us back into let's shut down society again. It's getting there. And we can't let them do it. Everything they said, not everything, but most things that they said about this, that they were really over the top emotional about and strong about, really didn't pan out.
The, the momentum is all going that way, and the threats, and city councilman here was implying not masks but quarantine if there was two or three more weeks of bad data. And I mean, so it's local, it's in Southern California, you see it in LA, they've already gone, LA County's already gone to mask mandates. It's at the top of the hour, all the news updates, Delta variant, now the Lambda variant and the Epsilon variant and, you know, whoever. So
did you just say Lambda? Is there a Lambda variant?
I believe I heard that on the way in today.
SOB.
Texas.
So we got to talk about that. Because you can't let them do it again. You can't let them do it again. And it's interesting is the magic bullet vaccine, is it as magic bullet as they said? That's the other part. That's the most interesting part of this. That's where the rubber meets the road here. That's when we go into dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
I think, and what they're saying is that people who do get the if they have the vaccine, they're having less symptoms and less serious. So that's
good. There's a lot of people out there who are counting on this thing to work. You know, that was the thing. Vulnerable older populations are the ones who suffer from the most of this. And I pray all of you got your vaccines. That's all right. If that's something that you thought was important to protect you from this thing, I think most of those people did get that. And they're going to forget that, though. That's the part. They're going to conveniently forget that part.
But when you talk about children, like 12 and under, right, and worrying about masks in school, and you look at the, for all the extremely low percentage of children that have died of COVID, I mean, it's a handful in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. No.
And they're already talking about messing up another year for kids in school.
If they do that, I mean, I'm telling you, parents, you cannot let them do this. You can't let them do it. All right, let's go to break. Tucker did a good rundown on this yesterday. I don't want to play the whole thing, so I'm gonna literally cut and paste out of his rant he did on this yesterday, and we'll talk about this. So Beatrice is coming next week, so we'll have a... Because remember, Beatrice will tell you that it's about, you look at hospitalization, what's going on in the hospitals, right? Don't tell me about positives and any of that junk. Tell me about hospitalization.
Right.
And then we'll have a discussion. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. All right, little Leonard Skinner, simple man bringing us in on an L kind of Wednesday. Again, I'll never forget the moment my mother, when my brother was blasting Leonard Skinner on the old stereo system in his room, said, "Is this Lenny Skinny guy again?" I just remember, I'll never forget that till the day I die. You know, classic Mama D. Simone. So listener Martin asked me, is it just me or is there an omission of numbers and data to these new increases, right? I mean, you do see what they say is, you know, they've gone up a certain percentage. You definitely see that. But again, cases doesn't mean much, right? We already know that the testing is faulty, right? We know that... What is it doing to hospitals, right? What is the people who are severely ill out of this, right? Because you can have a kid who's 18 years old who, quote, tested positive and had a little bit of a dry throat for 12 hours, and that's a case. So I'm telling you, my friends, you're going to have to be ready to fight back on this because they're going to come hard for this out of nowhere.
Well, again, let's talk... You know, if we're going to start throwing statistics around, let's throw all the statistics around. Okay, cases, fine. Hospitalizations, that's a big statistic. And death, that's a big statistic.
You are correct. I'm with you. Now, of course, it's hilarious that the Texas legislators who were all vaccinated the masks don't mean anything anyway, right? They forgot the virtue signal. And then they got Kamala Ronid, which is hilarious.
Oh, she does?
Why is she in the hospital?
They say some staffers too, some White House staffers as well. The karma tour.
I'm okay with them proving me wrong. I'm gonna say, I'm saying, I'm saying that Kamala got the Rona. Okay, Now, if they want to prove me wrong, a real doctor wants to get on the camera and go, Kamala Harris was here because she had a skin tag that we removed. Okay, I want to hear it. But because you're not hearing anything, you know what it's got to be. It's got to be the Rona. It's got to be. Or let's call it a 91% chance it's the Rona, right? Because this would be a PR nightmare for them. Do you remember when they went crazy about Trump getting the Rona? Remember they went insane about Trump getting it? You see? You see? How many Dems on social media probably said something like, he didn't take it seriously and he's going to die? How many of them said that? A bunch. So the Texans go, those Texas Democrat freedom fighters. Let's see. So of course, let's get to this whole thing. So then we got, we're seeing that, you know, there are people who are, this is from the UK. Okay. They're talking about people admitted to British hospitals for presumably cases of COVID might be double vaccinated. Then he sent a tweet clarifying that only 40% have been fully vaccinated. He didn't even provide evidence to substantiate everything. The number may be small in total in aggregate, and the fact that anyone going to the hospital who've already been vaccinated is the opposite of what they're telling us in the United States. They've been telling us anyone who's fully vaccinated is fine. Joe Biden, look, the only pandemic we have here is among the unvaccinated, and that they're killing people. Dr. Rochelle Walensky from the CDC, this is becoming a pandemic of the unvaccinated. We're seeing outbreaks of cases in parts of the country that have low vaccination coverage because unvaccinated people are at risk. And then they say, of course, the good news is if you're fully vaccinated, you're protected against severe hospitalization and death. This is important. Oh my God, we're almost done. Look at this. Nothing wrong than getting played off by Julie London, though. So we'll get back to this. Alan Harwell's here. He's coming in a little early. We'll get him on the air right now. He's running for city council. So we'll talk about this. Plenty of meat on this Corona Bone story later. So wake up, Tucson, 10:30. Let's... All right. I forgot to look at my own schedule, for goodness sake. I even probably said his name earlier. Maybe I didn't. So anyway. I was just talking to Alan Harwell. He'll be on at the top of the hour. We're hanging out with the great Dan Shearer from the Green Valley News. Dan, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Oh, better than the Phoenix Suns. Ouch.
Wow.
Ouch.
I gave up on the NBA a long time ago, so.
Okay, so they were three games into this before I realized that the Suns were in the finals, and I found out that they lost about a minute and a half ago. I just wanted to sound like I was up on things, but no, I frankly don't care.
So I was at the Grimaldi's in D.C. Ranch, which is right next to the All-American Sports Grill, which was filled with Suns fans, and so as I was done with my marvelous pizza dinner, all the pissed off Sun fans were coming off after, and they're like, man, doesn't that suck? I go, what happened?
Yeah, that's about where I am, and I'm not feeling like I'm missing anything. So, anyway.
I said, I don't want to belittle your love for this, but I'm just, it's just not on my radar, kids. Tell me about, first and foremost, I want to talk to you. You know, I think we have these good discussions every quarter about the state of journalism, and I know you were listening to my discussion about the Chief Magnus Mayor Romero presser yesterday.
Correct.
And you know, so I'm going through every piece of journalism on this, and like I said, the POT reporter Eddie Salaya actually did some good meat and potatoes. You know, digging on the background of this guy, Mr. Scarlet. And all it takes is Magnus says he had mental issues, but no one, there's no one else in the background of this guy that points to that, and even KOLD bit on that to do a whole story. Am I overlooking this? What am I missing?
Well, are you saying that should we back off if someone says he has mental
issues? No, I would like to know that there's proof of mental issues. That's all I'm asking for.
Correct, and that's really what I was saying, is that if someone says it, you need to go out and verify, what does this mean? Had they been called to the house before? Had he been institutionalized? What do we know about him? And I think actually Laura Conover and her approach, and you can say that she has kind of a soft touch to these types of things, I think her point would be that is there some way that someone like this, perhaps in the past, and I'm just speculating, doesn't keep going through the system, but rather actually is kind of pulled out and get the help they need? Or is the system somewhat hamstrung when it comes to people with mental health issues? Because after some point, if you're an adult, you can sign yourself out of some of these facilities. It depends on the circumstances under which you go in. So there's lots of little questions here, but I think they're very valuable, and I think you're headed in the right direction on wanting to know more. I think that's very fair.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like also when I was looking through this, Eddie was constantly referring to court documents, right? You would have thought they would have copped a plea due to mental insanity or mental problems to get him a lighter sentence. But that never seemed to come up in any of the journalism about this guy. That's my take.
Right, and that's very hard to get an agreement like that, to have that kind of play into all of it. It's very, very tough. However, you know that these things tend to build, and they build and they build, and then something like this happens. To me, the interesting thing is when people trot out the gun control thing when we have a situation like this. Look, there are almost 400 million guns in the United States, and most of them are legal, and they really are not the problem. Easy access to guns, you're not going to be able to do anything with that. People are not going to turn them in. You can't take them away. There's nothing. We're going to have to learn to live with it. That's why I think there's the focus on, okay, let's deal with people with mental health issues. However, it's always going to be easy to get a hold of a gun. So don't go after the guns in this situation, because it's just not going to fly.
But also, remember, Judge Fields revoked this guy's ability to buy a gun in 2016. So...
Yeah, but we know what that means.
I know, but what I'm saying is that that makes the mayor's comment about gun control even sillier.
It is ridiculous. And if you've ever been to a gun show, and I went to one, I'm not a gun guy, but I went to one, and I was just astonished. I think I laughed out loud. You have people, you know, with guns strapped to them with for sale signs on them. Let's go out into the parking lot and cut a deal. And that's how it's so easy to get a gun, just like it's always been easy to get pot or other things like that. So that is it is such a strange argument to me when you think about the just overwhelming number of weapons in this country. And really, I think the gun control is the wrong target to try to solve some of this.
We're talking to Dan Shearer, Green Valley News, GVNews.com. Tell me about, this is something we talked about a little bit, and I saw a little more reporting on it since the last time we talked. You have the Sarita town attorney retiring, but then making a lot more money not working or something.
So, well, it's not an unusual program, and our one of our superintendents down here in the Continental School District also entered it, but we have a little twist on ours. But what happens is that if you have a state retirement and you are eligible for it, you can retire, and then you can be rehired as a contract worker, and it actually costs the entity that you're working for less money because they are no longer paying for your benefits and all of that. So it really is a deal, in a sense, for the entity. So our Continental School District superintendent did this. She retired on Friday, was back at work on Monday, and she was working under a contract, and it was saving the district money. Our town attorney did that. He retired, and then they rehired him under this contract. Oh, wait a minute, though. When he retired, and he has been, by the way, the only person to ever hold the position of town attorney in Sarita, they gave him half a year's salary plus benefits for 6 months. This is $100,000 plus. Why would they do that? I know when I retire, I'm just going to, you know, I'll be lucky to get a wristwatch and probably a free subscription to the paper, okay?
You're one of the few people that actually uses a wristwatch anymore anyway, so yes, you're going to get one.
Well, that in tandem with newspapers, it kind of goes together. But why did they give him that money? So we talked to the mayor, and he said, well, because he's the only person to ever have held this job, we're going to use him to help us find the next person because he has a lot of institutional knowledge. That never happened. They've now hired a headhunter. So what we have is a really, really nice going-away gift for this guy. It was not in his contract, but they discussed it in executive session twice. They come out, they give him all this money, a really weak excuse to give him this money, and then they hire him back under this contract for potentially another year. And so my question is, why are we giving him this $100,000 plus that we shouldn't? Now, our town manager just also retired, and I'm using air quotes on that one because he's my age and he's not anywhere near ready to retire, but they just wanted him out. And so they gave him the same deal, but that's go-away money. That's, you know, let's not end up in court. Let's not fight. Let's not do this in public. Let's just, we don't like you. You don't like us. We're just going to give you some money to stay quiet. That happens all the time. It's not right, but I understand it. The town attorney thing isn't like that. It's just, here's this wonderful gift, and no one can explain it, and no one will explain it. Now, here's my problem with the public, if I can be so bold. In the olden days, you would have people show up at council meetings, you'd have them writing emails, you'd have them writing letters to the editor. Now, they'll go on Facebook, and they'll go, oh, that is so wrong, and or they'll do a frowny face or whatever, and then they move on to the next issue. And the council finds that so easy to ignore because they know you're going to forget it. So this is not showing outrage, people, when you do a thumbs down on one of your social media pages. This is your money. You need to get out there, ask questions, understand the process, and get mad over things like this. This is an outrage.
I think also, too, right, is you're totally correct, but in addition to that, you have so many of these municipalities, some of them who might just be meeting in person for the first time this summer, right? I know Sarita's different. I think there's a bunch of people who didn't know, they hated the Zoom meeting, right?
Oh,
just hated it, right?
Yeah.
And so they stopped petitioning their government. And you know something? The elected officials and the bureaucrat love when you stop petitioning them.
Oh, they absolutely love it. There are other people who have actually become connected through the Zoom meetings, but they won't speak up. They won't speak up because it's awkward. It's an awkward process. It's a strange thing to do. Maybe they'll come back to these meetings. But this last year has been a heyday for government entities like councils and boards and whatever because they haven't been held accountable. We've seen it down here in spades in Green Valley and in Sarita where they've pretty much just been given free rein over the past year, and you don't have that line of people coming up at call to the public, calling them on the carpet. You're right. Sarita went back a lot earlier than most people did, so we're seeing more of that. I was just at a council meeting the other night, but for the most part, these entities have been given a free pass because people have not been involved in the process. It's a very good point.
And it's not like they're having their PR budget going to a media campaign that said, hey, we're back open for meetings. Please join us.
They'd rather you not know. is that a surprise? Please.
I just fell off my chair again. Another workman's comp claim with Bustos. All right. Dan, can you hold on for a few commercials, please, sir?
Sure.
All right, we're going to visit some of our great sponsors. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. It's an L kind of Wednesday, a Ruben Gallego hump day, as we like to call it. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30, The Voice.
Song about Arizona State Route 74, Carefree Highway by Gordon Lightfoot.
Brandy, you're a fine girl. It's very antiquated, you know, about making a fine wife and being a domestic servant in a relationship. So very, the mayor's office looks down on this, Matt. So
No, the best line in that song is that he was an honest man. Okay, yeah, you don't see much of that either. So I love that song. It's true love.
Hold on, let me give Dan a, there you go. It's an L kind of Friday here on a, I think forever it'll be a Ruben Gallego hump day. I'll never forget that picture of him on top of that camel. It's so good. So good.
Don't drag me into this stuff. Okay. In his, you know, I'll just keep going.
In his Jacques Cousteau Speedo. The members of the Calypso had some off time in the desert on a camel with Eric Swalwell and his, was it his wife or his hot Chinese spy girlfriend again? I just like saying hot Chinese spy girlfriend. It's like something out of a Bond flick, you know? I'm sorry, Dan.
Brother.
Dan, I see that we had, so yesterday up on Old Father and Ina, we had people killing each other, shooting each other up there. Then you guys had something down the pharmacy drive-by. We had a drive-through hit by several gunshots.
Well, it was, I actually got a call from a reader who said, how come there's a bullet hole in the pharmacy drive-through window? And so we called and actually put out a little press release on this because it's a big deal. It was hit by several bullets overnight. This would be like early Tuesday morning. And that is a very odd thing for this place. We don't know who did it at this point. It could have been, a tweaker trying to break in and get all the OxyContin or something. We don't know, but they're looking into that. Then we had a rash of break-ins into cars, and actually we had two of them. And the first one, I think 9 cars were hit, and the second one a few more, and they just made an arrest on that late last night, of course, 2 people from Tucson. so we'll see how that plays out, but we don't get this very often here. In fact, whenever we have this rash of car break-ins, it's always kind of that telltale, well, how many of them had their doors locked? And most of them, no. In fact, a gun was ripped off in one of those, which I believe has been recovered. But they're still not parking. They park their cars out in front of the house and still not locking the doors, and that's what happens. The good news is that almost everybody down here has some sort of a surveillance camera. So, Smile, you are being captured on film, and then you will be captured later on because we put it onto social media, and they always get them.
Well, so, as we infamously have been pounding the drum on, the crime in Tucson's off the wall right now, and it's naturally going to push out into the burbs, right? And I was saying this to a police friend of mine in the Pima County Sheriff's Department. He goes, they better start at the Pima County Board of Supes when they start talking about budgeting. We need to start over-hiring and overstaffing in the county because it's just going to keep pushing out. And the unincorporated areas are going to start to get ugly too if there's not a response to this.
Right, because we know it either comes here or will be affected by decisions that are made by the people north of us. As much as we hate to admit it, but it is the case. And so we, like everybody else, have trouble recruiting for the police department. And I think a lot of what's happened in the last couple of years is the exact reason for that. But they are not lowering the standards. They're going to make sure they get the right people and start them on that career path. And it is always just like when you come across a young person who wants to be a journalist, and absolutely they were built to do this. It's a good feeling. Same thing with a police officer, and I've met several recently, actually, who just this is what they were born to do. And so we need to find those people. But there are other options out there. Cybersecurity is taking a lot of those people who are interested in law enforcement, and that's good. That's a wonderful career path, also. But we need feet on the street, as they say. So. So we are in no different position than anybody else when it comes to recruiting.
In the end, the municipalities are going to have to start overpaying for police talent. That's where we're at. That's what it's going to have to happen. You're going to have to start raising those salaries. I mean, look at this. We have people that can't, because of people who don't want to work, right? I got restaurants paying, $18, $19 an hour for a line cook.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Yeah, and we have already seen that down here in a couple of our assisted living places where they have had to start paying caregivers a whole lot more than they had in the past. And people are saying, well, what's wrong with giving them a fair wage? Well, for what they do, I don't know. Can you put a price on caregiving? The fact is that they are just very, very difficult to find and then to keep. And we were talking to Saba the other day, actually on the Buckmaster Show, the head of Saba, and he said, yeah, people are going to construction sites and they are hiring crews right away from, this home builder and taking him to another. And I said, well, a couple bucks more an hour. And he goes, oh, no, a lot more than that. And so this is what's happening. And, of course, then it all ends up on the shoulders of the consumer. So that is what's going on, is that we just don't have people trained in these certain areas, or not as many people just interested in going into it anymore.
We got about a minute and a half. Give me a Green Valley News, good news story for everybody to finish our day. What do you got for me?
I had a guy named Stan Riddle who used to be involved in pretty much everything in Green Valley. He called me the other day and he said, hey, Dan, I'm the winner of the Publisher Clearinghouse sweepstakes. I said, you are, Stan. And, of course, it was a scam and he knew it. And he got two phone calls and the second phone call, he says to the guy, so I have one more question for you. How long have you been doing this scam? And the guy hung up. And then, so we put out the warning that, no, you are not a winner. And most people who are contacted and told they're a winner have not entered the contest. Okay, you can't win if you have not entered. So that's number one. And number two, if they ask you to send them a check to cover attorney fees or taxes or some other fees, hang up on them. You did not win. And by the way, they haven't chosen the Publisher's Clearinghouse winner yet for this year.
Hold on. I want to ask Google something. Hold on. Let's see what she is. Ed McMahon still alive? Oh, let's see what she says, Dan. She's always so good.
Ed McMahon died at age 86.
What?
Ed McMahon died on June 23rd, 2009.
2009? Ed's been dead for 12 years?
I think they bring the cardboard cutout when they present the big check.
You know it's a scam when they said Ed McMahon will be at your house on Tuesday with a giant check.
Don't fall for it, folks.
You are correct, sir. So, Dan, thanks for a good time, sir.
Very good. Thank you.
All right, Alan Harwell running for city council coming up next.